My name is Ron Quaranta, chairman of the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance. I'm going to be talking about DeFi, NFTs, and the exciting world of crypto.
I'm Casey Johnson, senior director of strategy and innovation at CPA.com, the business and technology arm of the AICPA. Blockchain is one of the many emerging technology trends that has the potential to disrupt the accounting and finance role. Each year, the AICPA and CPA.com, in collaboration with the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance, host an annual invite-only blockchain and accountancy symposium that convenes the brightest minds across the globe on everything from crypto to supply chain management. So we are bringing to you a three-part series from a few of those subject matter experts to discuss top trends and advancements. In this episode, cryptos, DeFi, and NFTs, accounting for intangibles, we will explore some of the most recent developments in blockchain and look ahead at what's to come. Welcome to the Go Beyond Disruption podcast, brought to you by the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the unified voice of the AICPA and SEMA. Every week, we share insights from inside the accounting and finance profession that help you to stay ahead of the curve, whatever business you're in. You can find links and more information in the show notes for this episode or by going to gobeyonddisruption.com. Our returning guest today is Ron Quaranta, chairman of the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance. In this episode, we'll be talking with Ron about the most recent developments in blockchain and what's been making the news. That's why we've called the episode Cryptos, DeFi, and NFTs, Accounting for Intangibles. Ron has over three decades of experience in global financial services and technology industries. As chairman and CEO of the WSBA, he leads the world's largest nonprofit trade association promoting the comprehensive adoption of blockchain technology and crypto assets across global markets. He is a sought-after speaker and advocate, as well as partner of the AICPA. If you are interested in listening to Ron's previous Go Beyond Disruption podcasts, check out episode number 3 from June of 2018, as well as episode 98 in February of 2020. Welcome back, Ron.
Thank you, Casey. It's good to be here. It's great to chat with you again.
So I'm here in Southern California. Where are you joining us from today?
I am headquartered in the home office here in central New Jersey, a little bit cloudy, but it looks like spring's actually here, which would be really, really nice. And if I don't get my wife outside at some point, I'm going to be in trouble.
I'm glad things are finally getting a little warmer for you. So we've talked a bit about you and what you do. What did we leave out? What else are you working on right now, Ron?
Oh, goodness. Well, there's so much going on in this space. And Casey, I've got the privilege of talking to you frequently. And I know we'll be talking about NFTs and DeFi. I certainly spend quite a bit of time working on and growing the WSBA, both our team and our members from around the world across different industry verticals. I've got the privilege also of being an advisor to many startups in the space as well. But I think the overarching thing that I spend so much time doing is learning. Just keeping up with the pace of innovations across different industry verticals really is almost a full-time job, but it's so exciting because there's so much happening in this space.
It's moving rapidly, that's for sure. Plug us into your world for a minute. What does your 9-to-5 look like, and what pivot points do you typically focus on?
I do have to say one thing. When you say 9-to-5, it almost makes me chuckle. I don't think we've had a 9-to-5 work day, Casey, in years. The day starts early, really with kind of understanding market developments around the world. The pace of innovation is just accelerating. So part of my day, really, especially in the early morning, is finding out what happened in global markets overnight, finding where adoption of both blockchain and crypto assets has happened, and really disseminating that information to colleagues and members of the WSBA and partner organizations as well. Again, that process of learning and sharing really is part of the day-to-day for us in this world.
And you're so right, Ron. We're all working definitely more than 9-to-5s lately. It's they all bleed into each other at this point. But let's switch focus and look to why you've joined us on this podcast. The episode is called Cryptos, DeFi, and NFTs, Accounting for Intangible. Let's first jump into the NFTs, as it's all over the news with expensive artwork and Twitter CEO's first tweet. What is an NFT?
Sure. It's a really great question. And you're absolutely right, Casey. It's all over the place. I've got family and friends asking me what an NFT is and why I'm not making one. And it's always this long conversation to explain it. But simply put, and in my mind, NFTs really are the next step in the evolution of crypto assets and blockchain. And an NFT is a digital asset that lives on a blockchain. It is cryptographically secured, but it is unique. It has unique identification codes. It has unique sets of data that distinguish them from each other. In other words, an NFT is and will always be unique, a unique piece of art, as you mentioned, digital art, for example. And that makes it really different from what we'll broadly call fungible tokens. Bitcoin is that good example. And for all intents and purposes, one Bitcoin, quote unquote, is equivalent to another Bitcoin. And I'm sure my technologist colleagues out there will correct me on the specifics of Bitcoin. And you and I have had those conversations, Casey, many times. But really, the uniqueness of an NFT, that tokenizing tangible assets, both in the physical world, and let's think about things like real estate and existing art, and also in the digital world. And I think you were referencing, and we probably will talk about it later, Casey, this digital art, and people may have heard of Beeple, a digital artist that sold an NFT for something like $69 million. But the important thing about it, I think that's worth remembering, is all of the benefits of blockchain that you and I have been talking about for many years, Casey, also live and exist for NFTs. So they are unique, but the audit trail, the provenance, the security of ownership really still live in an NFT token. And I think that's an important feature in the evolution of that technology.
Talk to me a little bit about more about that. So what are the accounting considerations and further, probably more importantly, the tax liabilities on these types of assets?
That's a really interesting question. And Casey, you know this, I am not an accountant, but I spend a lot of time with accountants and tax professionals. So there's some really intriguing things that are happening here. From a tax perspective, the Internal Revenue Service in the United States has weighed in as far back as 2014 and called cryptographic assets and digital or virtual assets property. And that they would be taxed as such. And over time, the IRS, while not putting forward specific guidance, has put forward FAQs that talk a bit about things like airdrops and other types of tokens, et cetera. When you look at NFTs, there's some really interesting tax implications, particularly when we talk about the volumes and the dollars that we're talking about. So for the creator of an NFT, if Casey created a piece of digital art and sold it, you're creating that art and selling that, and that sale is taxed at least currently as ordinary income. The other side of that is the buyer, which are arguably looking at NFT purchases as speculative investments. And that kicks off an entire series of really interesting discussions. Most NFTs are paid for with crypto. So for example, $69 million is in, I think it was in Ethereum. Well, what does that mean? Well, the person who bought that sold Ethereum, which is now a taxable capital gain event, and then bought a digital token. And if they turn around and sell that NFT to another investor for more money, guess what? That's another taxable event taxed at a capital gains rate. And it gets a bit more detailed than even that. And again, there's some really interesting articles. Dr. Sean Stein-Smith published some articles recently because these NFTs can be considered from a tax code perspective to be collectibles, which means, and I think it's section 408 of the tax code. It's frightening, Casey, that I actually know that. Under collectibles, they're actually taxed at a higher rate. And I think it's something on the order of 28%. So what that means is potentially buying and selling and collecting NFTs, at least currently, may be a not very efficient way of managing taxes. It may force you to pay higher taxes than you ordinarily would.
That's a lot for firms to consider when advising their clients. As part of our topics today, we also want to dive into the new, well, I guess it's not a new trend, but it's definitely had a lot of growth in the last year, is DeFi. And DeFi is the acronym for decentralized finance. Walk me through, what is that?
Yeah, decentralized finance really is a blockchain-based, and again, I always come back to the technology, right? Casey, that layer one of technology, which is decentralized finance is a blockchain-based form of finance that really removes intermediaries in many regards. It removes those kind of central financial brokerages and exchanges and banks that offer traditional instruments, bonds and equities and savings accounts, et cetera, and instead replaces those intermediaries with technology, smart contracts that live and execute on the blockchain. And so what you're beginning to see because of that is I'll almost call it the replication of existing financial markets. And in the DeFi world today, you can lend crypto, you can borrow crypto, you can speculate on different instruments, you could earn interest in things that are almost like savings accounts that are not, and it's probably worth us talking about that. But it's really beginning to evolve and reinvent the financial markets that we know, and again, with the benefits of blockchain technology. Auditability, management of provenance and identity. There are challenges. This is not an ecosystem for the faint of heart. But as it evolves, it really does open up a new series of financial capabilities, financial inclusion that we haven't seen before.
Dive into that a little deeper. What are the benefits, or why would someone want to use a decentralized finance system over traditional financial institutions?
Sure. And that's a really good question, because it's core to the discussion around how we do what we do and why we've been doing that way. So in the financial world that we all live in and grew up in, and the world of banking that's evolved over hundreds of years at this point, banks and brokerage firms, insurance companies act as those intermediaries for a variety of reasons, managing counterparty risk, managing currency risk, et cetera. But as DeFi comes to the fore, removing those central intermediaries, those centralized organizations, removes friction from the system. It's hard to do some things in financial markets. Even today, it's hard and expensive to send payments overseas. There's commissions associated with different types of instruments. There are, there's the overhead of centralized organizations that cost users of those organizations money. Decentralization took a different tack and said, what if we can operate in a more peer-to-peer way, where the only thing that manages it is software code that we all have to agree on? And so what does that mean? That means particular instruments can earn interest at a higher rate than we would get if you and I had money in a simple savings account. It means that the types of investments available out there to participants is a much wider variety across a greater demographic of potential investors. Some of these tools are no longer just available for institutional investors or high net worth individuals. And again, there's risk, right? There's speculation risk. There's the risk of understanding this ecosystem of DeFi. But as we remove the friction of centralized systems, we open up benefits of cheaper, easier, more cost-effective finance, and ultimately greater return on investments for participants.
Let's talk a little bit more about the evolving markets. With all the regulatory limitations and no real universal system for dealing with intangibles, what is the compliance reality here?
It's still evolving, right? I think a lot of the concerns, particularly in the accounting space, and in fairness, the Internal Revenue Service, and again, it is an international conversation, but I'll reference the IRS in the US, has been working to keep up. They've got resources dedicated. It seems that they've taken a much more enforcement-focused action, or perspective, rather. So Operation Treasure Hunt, I believe it's called, which is the Internal Revenue Service's hunt, essentially, for those who are not properly recording crypto transactions on exchanges, for example. The regulatory uncertainty is one of the main impediments to growth in things like decentralized finance or NFT, for example. The IRS trying to keep up with the pace of these innovations, and there's a lot of pushback on the IRS's interpretation or consideration of crypto as property. When you look at some of the instruments or things like airdrops or staking rewards or swaps, some in the profession feel that those are not property, that those can be collectibles or commodities. And on top of that complexity from a tax perspective and accounting perspective is the regulatory complexity with organizations and regulators like the Securities and Exchange Commission or the CFTC or FINRA. And the joke that we have in the ecosystem, Casey, is like, for all of these regulators, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So for the IRS, everything's property. For the SEC, everything is a security. For the CFTC, everything is a commodity. That lack of clarity, or the slowness to develop that clarity, is one of the challenges the accounting professional faces. Constantly keeping up with the innovations here, constantly having to keep up with these kind of FAQs or perspectives from the IRS is troubling, but it's part of the reason for being in this space. It's the requirement of the job at this point, given how fast an innovation is moving forward.
And so what does the groundswell of decentralized finance and the reinvention of global markets mean for our audience? When everyone has access to formerly centralized and inaccessible markets, what is the disruption or the pivot point that they should be considering?
And I have this conversation with a lot of colleagues in the accounting profession, their firms and the individuals as well. That pivot point, in my opinion, or that disruption, really is the moment a client knocks on the door and says, I'm doing something in DeFi. And I would argue for the accounting professional that the answer can't be, I don't know what to do. So the pivot point really becomes a couple of really different but important focuses on innovation. What does that firm or professional need to be keeping up on? What are the innovation changes? What are the sources of information that they need to be aware of? And again, I would never advocate for an accounting organization or a firm or a practice to suddenly become coders or technologists. That's not, Casey, what this conversation that you and I often have is about. It's really about keeping ahead of the pace of innovation and understanding where that might be going for their clients. What happens when a client's earning interest on a DeFi platform? What happens when Casey Corp raises money or sells an NFT? And what does the accounting practitioner need to be aware of? Or at least, what are the questions that they need to know to ask? And for me, a lot of the important sources of that, AICPA, Casey, as you know, has done quite a bit of work in putting those learning materials together. That's going to increase. And the last thing I'll leave off there, Casey, if I may, what I often advise colleagues in accounting and banking and law is, if you're not carving out some portion of your time and your budget for understanding innovation, you're already falling behind. It's that important to keep up, in my mind.
I couldn't agree more, Ron. And you're right. We're not saying that firms need to be the coders or be able to build these systems or work in these systems, but at least be aware of it, understand the foundational elements, how their clients could or would be working with it, so that when they come to them with those questions, they're not at a loss. We're going to continue this conversation shortly as we discuss some of the more practical steps to turn disruption into opportunity. This is the Go Beyond Disruption podcast, brought to you by the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. You can find out more about this podcast and about the rest of our wider project at gobeyonddisruption.com. Looking at what's happening now, Ron, would you outline some practical steps to help the affected sectors of our profession turn the current challenges into opportunities? Because as you know, some of this can be a little overwhelming and they walk away with, okay, so what do I really need to do today?
Yeah, we hear that a lot, right? It's the overwhelm of, oh my God, what do I do? There's so much happening in this space. And I would argue, really take a considered approach for those accounting practitioners out there and those accounting firms. Again, I reference it often, Casey. The AICPA has the learning materials associated with blockchain and crypto assets. When you look at some of the additional work that we've been proud to collaborate with AICPA and CPA.com on. There's a universal blockchain glossary that AICPA recently published. There's a series of recently published materials around things like SOC audit, for example. The WSBA, if I could plug a little bit, we've published for the accounting profession stablecoin primers and CBDC primers. CBDCs are central bank digital currencies. We have a DeFi primer in the pipeline that'll be coming out in April of 2021. Really, those are some of the resources to consider. I would also spend a little bit of time, if we're talking about DeFi, if we're talking about non-fungible tokens, look at some of the providers for those folks in the accounting profession. Look at platforms like OpenSea, SEA, for example, or Rarible. And again, dip your toe in that water a little bit. You and I, Casey, don't need to be worried about spending $69 million on a Beeple piece of digital art, but we can go to those locations, we can go to those learning portals and understand some of those developments and what's being offered. For the accounting practitioner, I would suggest that's as important for them as well. Know what's happening in that space. And again, it's not about the tech, it's about the use case. And I would argue that's always what they need to keep in mind. And the last thing, from a practical perspective, and I was kind of caught off guard by this as well, those FAQs, Casey, that I mentioned from the Internal Revenue Service, they get updated on the IRS's portal. And I might have missed it. I didn't see announcements of those updates. So I would argue from a tax perspective, it really behooves the practitioner to check those FAQs, check the Internal Revenue Service's stance on some of these things, because they are evolving, and being aware of that evolution is critical as well.
Great advice, Ron. And we talked with Amy Miller in a previous session in this series, and she had recommended that our audience subscribe to newsletters of the different regulators as well. So all of these resources are great. We'll make sure to put in the show notes links to the primer and different reports, as well as the AICPA's different blockchain working groups assets as well. We've talked about a lot of the news that's been going on around whether it be Bitcoin's big prices, the NFTs that are bringing in incredible amounts of money. What do you foresee as the next big trend in crypto? What should we be looking at as the next big disruptor?
Casey, you and I know each other for several years, so you know I'm a passionate advocate for what's evolving in the marketplace around blockchain and crypto assets. I think we will continue to see the growth and adoption and understanding of non-fungible tokens, which I think is really critical to what a lot of us are calling the creator economy. Yes, I'm not creating a piece of digital art that's going to sell for millions of dollars, but what happens in the world where this creator economy allows artists and writers and individuals across multiple different professions and industries to create a unique asset or unique piece of art, some unique work that they can sell directly. In my mind, that opens up entire new professions that wouldn't have existed before. We're beginning to see, and I continue to believe that part of that is the acceleration of decentralized finance. Looking at the economics perspective of it, net of inflation, most savings rates are either zero or negative, which is terrible in the United States and around most Western developed countries. What happens when decentralized finance offers economic inclusion and the ability to earn higher rates of return? What does that do to generational wealth transfer? So those are critical conversations. I think later this year, to bring it down to the level of what does this mean for the everyday person and the accounting practitioner, we'll probably see crypto ETFs. We're seeing them in Canada now. They'll probably be approved in the United States. And Casey, I think I've mentioned that to you going back to 2017, and every year I was saying, this is the year. I'm hopeful that 2021 is the year. And then finally, what I'll call blockchain identity. And this is certainly what I'll call the bleeding edge from a blockchain or technology perspective, where economic identity managed by a blockchain gives all of us at an individual level greater control over our financial lives. And I think that's an important development.
I think that the identity pieces and everything around healthcare, as well as, of course, supply chain management, are just fascinating. Unfortunately, we don't have the time for that today, but as you're already a three-peat guest, maybe we'll have you back in the future to dive into those. Ron, what's one message you'd like to leave for accounting and finance professionals that will help them to go beyond disruption?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And for the accounting professionals and the accounting practices out there, and actually it's for me personally kind of a mission, which is always be learning. There is great downside to not perpetually be learning, but so much upside from the perspective of how their practices can evolve, how their careers can evolve, how their strategy develops in the future really is predicated on always be learning. There's so much available to kick off that conversation within practices and firms. And that would be the takeaway I offer. Carve out some time, and time's a precious commodity. You and I know that, Casey, but carving out just a little bit of time to always be learning really is the differentiator for those that will be successful in the long term.
Thank you, Ron. We greatly appreciate your time today and your partnership over the years. There's plenty more to explore about crypto and blockchain, so be sure to tune in to our follow-up episodes on the topic. To see the links, just click on the episode's info icon in the podcast app on your smartphone or tablet, or open the episode in your computer's web browser. You'll find everything right there. There are some other websites we'd recommend for listeners interested in taking this further. Start at our brand new portal at future.aicpa.org. That's future.aicpa.org. Go there for courses, webinars, and other professional development resources, much of it available at no charge. That will help keep you ahead of the curve. If you've enjoyed this episode, go tell someone about it. You can also contact us directly via the feedback link in our show notes. We're always keen to know what you think and what you'd like to hear more of. From the AICPA, SEMA, and CPA.com, I'm Casey Johnson. We'll be back soon with more conversations that help you and your profession to go beyond disruption. Till next time, keep listening and keep safe. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond Disruption, brought to you by the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. Learn more about today's topic at AICPA-CIMA.com/disruption. This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.